This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business, my rants and cents.
1940 on Power Business. It is a Wednesday. It means we go into my rants and cents. And this evening, we do have a C-suite in studio. And Nomisa Mkhunwana, who is a CEO at Chapu Chartered Accountants, joins us to unpack her life, her journey, and her money. Nomisa, hi.
Hi, good evening, Nolu. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right, I'm all right.
Thank you so much for coming into studio. It's always great to have studio guests because the energy is just right, you know. Before we get into your relationship with your money, let's talk about you, where you hail from, and becoming a chartered accountant.
Okay, thanks, Nolu. Nomisa, I'm from actually a small village in Aidujua called Mbuti location. I did my schooling there, but I think I was privileged enough to actually go to boarding school in East London, where I did my high school at Clarendon Girls High School. From there, I was at NMMU and I did my articles at Deloitte, so in PE. And then from there, I stayed on at Deloitte as a manager. Then I went to General Motors, which is now Isuzu. Mm-hmm. I joined General Motors in the finance department. Then from there, I joined the AG as an audit quality specialist, as a manager. Then I actually moved up the ranks, and my last role, I was actually the business executive leading that unit when I left. Then I joined Chapu to head their quality, and now I'm their CEO of Chapu Chartered Accountants.
So let's talk about the road to CEO from a small town at Dudra to, where you are today, and maybe your attitudes towards money as you've just been growing, because as you've grown, so have your pockets.
So I think from a small town, my mom was quite entrepreneurial in the sense that she was a teacher, but she had other businesses that she was running. She had a farming business. She also had a transport business where her first car actually was a taxi. So after school, she would drive a taxi and make money. And I was also thinking as I was coming here that we were actually one of the few in our village to have a TV. Amazing. And we had a generator then. It was before load shedding, but I think she had foresight.
Yeah, mama was on it.
Foresight. So she would actually charge, I think it was 10 cents to come watch TV. And she would use that 10 cents to buy diesel for the generator. And also that's how money was something that we knew about, we understood. And she taught us about money. So even when the taxis came home, you would sit with the driver and count the money. So I think that's also where the passion for accounting came.
Yeah.
And we'd go do banking with her. So you understood, and also the cost of the business. And so she was very wise with her money. Mm-hmm. And she taught us that, to be wise with our money. So when I started my articles, you don't get much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just to survive.
And then the four letters come.
So when the four letters came, she actually had a sit down with me, and she actually explained to say, now you're going to get a lot of people wanting to give you credit. Mm. And then she gave me the disadvantages and the advantages of credit. So that, throughout my, even when I was still small up until now, it was something that she instilled to say, we talked about money. It was not a taboo at home. And also staying in hostel also taught you that the pocket money that you got needed to last you for a month, because you'd only go back home once a month. So whatever pocket money needed to last you. So that's my journey with money. With any relationship with money, there is complexities. Absolutely. There is ups and downs. I think it's normal. Even with your personal relationships, you will have ups and downs. So that's my relationship with money so far, with the big four letters that I have behind my name, yes.
I want to speak about, growing up in a household where there wasn't tension around money, where your mom spoke about it openly, and somebody who was money-wise in a time when many people actually were not. She sounds like she's somebody who really got it, together for herself and decided to instill those values in you. Has that made you more confident in dealing with your money?
Yes, so it's actually made me quite confident in dealing with my money. And also what I'm also doing, so I've got a 16-year-old. He's got his own business. He's got a water business. So he sells water And that's a business that he runs. You know, I assisted in terms of the initial capital, but he had to work for that capital. So he had to do chores and then you would pay him. And seeing him also getting his own financial freedom, it also, you know, and he's got obviously going to be confident as well when it comes to money and the choices that he's making around money. It also gives me confidence that I'm doing something right, you know, and that we shouldn't have this taboo about money. So money, it's something that we need to enjoy it, but obviously within boundaries. You need to live within your limits as well. You know, this is, I'm getting 10,000 a month. I can now, my expenses be 30,000 a month. Therefore, you wouldn't survive. So those are the values that she instilled that I'm also instilling with my kids as well.
I must ask you, so one of the big misconceptions here is that if you studied accounting or finance or economics, you know everything about money. And it's actually just not true. Like you're saying, there's many, many complexities. Let's talk about that. You know, if I think back, for instance, in an accounting undergrad, I mean, IFRS isn't budgeting. By the time that you're probably in a financial management class and you're, doing the cost of capital WACC, that's not budgeting. It's very possible that you can actually go through a full curriculum, a BCom, a commerce degree, and still have a strained relationship with money.
Yes, and you'd find that there is, just because you are dealing with money doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be good with your own money. If you think a mechanic would have the most broken car, but they fix cars, right? With the accounting, you're right. It doesn't teach you how to budget. It doesn't. It's something that, firstly, needs to be done at home. Mm-hmm. Also, looking in terms of, okay, let's look at the curriculum. How do we put it in so that our kids are also at school taught about money? So it's not something that's taboo, and even credit. So we understand what credit is and the impact that credit has on you. Because when you're looking for a job, you got the four letters behind you and now it's CASA, but you've been reckless with your money.
Yeah.
Now, when they do the background checks,
they can't hire you
because they need, remember, one of the frauds, when you're testing for fraud, one of the key indicators would be if someone doesn't have money and you're giving them money to manage, then you've got a risk there, right? So they'll do credit checks and find, actually, Nolu, your credit.
It's in well.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the complexity of money, and just having those awareness, talking about it. I think that's the first thing, talking about it, raising awareness, planning. Would say, okay, let me plan. Yes, I'm getting this much money. Let me plan. I know maybe especially when you're in business, you would plan to say, we know January is a very, very slow month. There isn't money coming in really, but you still have to pay salaries at the end of the month. You can't say, hi guys, sorry, I didn't budget this month.
Yeah, December was nice.
Yeah. I gave you a bonus in December. What more do you want, you know? So not also spending a lot of money that you don't have. Credit, you can use it, but you also need to use it wisely.
Let's talk about your money mistakes. If you've made any, sometimes you look back and you think, yo, Ngumisa, you should have known better.
Yeah, no, I have. I don't think there's anyone who hasn't made mistakes. And mistakes as well, they help you grow and they help you see things in a different light. So I think especially when you get the CA, you know, everyone wants to give you credit. Mm. And, you know, you can go and I spent it. I maxed the limit and I was like, yo, now paying it back is so painful.
100%.
It's painful now to pay it back. But I learned to say I need to also cut unnecessary costs. You don't need to get everything. You need to know, okay, these are my needs and these are my wants. And also have an honest analysis of your spending. So look through your statements and see, really, do I need to be spending this much? I think one thing also that is also a mistake that I've made in the past is, I think, you know, in January, you all make resolutions. I want to go to gym, and you start joining gym, and then your money gyms, but you don't gym.
Yes. And they want it.
And they want it.
They want it.
So your money gyms, but you are not gymming, and you're not getting. So you're giving someone your money for free, and you're paying for a service that you're not using. So it's important to So that's also one of the mistakes that I've made as well, to ensure that when I'm paying for a service, I am actually using that service. Because if you count that money in an annual amount, it's actually a lot of money.
Adds up.
That you actually are wasting.
Yeah, and if you put an investment in this time value of money, it could be a real thing. Let's talk about money and friends. Another thing that happens when you become a CASA is that some friends go to audit like you, and then some go to investment banking. And that can really complicate your life as a professional, because we've all made it. We all have the four letters. We're all either advocates or attorneys, or, you know, we've all graduated with these degrees. But now the monies are looking a little bit differently. Audit money is good, but investment banking money is crazy. How do we work through those insecurities of like, ooh, so-and-so just bought a car. Ooh, you know, because it can also feel like, well, we all worked, you know, and it is a kind of pressure that you need to manage there in the circles that you hang out with, and also managing your money and your feelings.
Yeah, so that is, I mean, it's part of life. You would compare, but you shouldn't compare yourself. You shouldn't. You should be comfortable in terms of this is the journey that I've chosen. These are the plans that I want to take. This is my plans for my money or my future. And this is why I want to get there. And also, because I don't know, yes, we're friends, but I don't know everything about you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly how some of your money you're getting. And how are you planning? How are you budgeting as well?
And responsibilities.
Yes, you know, and we might even end the same, but because maybe my responsibilities are a lot. So also with me, I had my son during article. So I had someone that was dependent on me that my peers wouldn't have. So I needed to be more responsible with my money than they would have. So it's really important to understand your situation and not compare yourself to others.
As mom would say, unga papi.
Yes, yes.
We do have a call on the line. Owen from Brits, good evening to you. Thank you for your call. Was listening, please go ahead.
Look, somebody once told me that money is a byproduct. Money is as a result of something that you do. And one must not chase after money, because money will always outrun you. But you have to attract money. And you have to obsess yourself with what you can do that attracts money. And to people who are like earning a salary that is a hand-to-mouth salary, it's more like you don't have a saving problem, but you have an income problem. I don't know what you guys have to tell me around those issues.
Love that so much, the issue of an income problem, not necessarily a savings problem. Thank you, Owen. Please do listen on the radio. Ngumusa, let's maybe start off by speaking about Owen's first, a point there around attracting money, not chasing it, making sure maybe that you're more obsessed with adding value than you are with making the actual buck.
Yes, and I think that's what we're also doing at Chapu is we are not chasing money. We are ensuring that we deliver a quality service. And then because we deliver a quality service, then the money comes. So we are not chasing money. And also we also assess to say, if this audit is this much, would we be able to deliver a quality service? Is it worthwhile for us to even venture into this assignment? So that assessment is critical as well. And then in terms of his second question on the saving and the income.
Yes, yes.
So the income that you have needs to sustain you, right? It's also important to manage your costs. I know the economy is quite bad. Yeah. Everything is quite expensive right now. But it's important that you actually budget and identify, are there any other unnecessary costs that I can remove from my spend?
So that I can
save.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And there's also, if you're thinking your income is not sufficient, then think then of other streams of income that you can make that don't necessarily take from your day-to-day job, for example. So if you are allowed, because certain jobs also have restraints in terms of making multiple streams of income. So passive income as well, that you wouldn't necessarily have to do a lot to get that income.
Absolutely. My belief is savings is a muscle. Nobody gets into the gym and picks up the 10 kilograms, or I'm not sure how people pick up, but maybe 40 kilograms. You start off with one, you start off with two, and you build going on there. But you don't go for the 10 first. If you can't save the 10 rand out of 1,000 rand, you're not going to be able to put away the 10,000 rand in 100,000. It just doesn't work like that. I want to speak about asking for money. as a professional, I imagine that there's been many times when you've had to negotiate your value versus your money. And it's actually a difficult conversation. Sometimes we can actually just feel shy that you even have a rand amount to it. Let's talk about that and your, and maybe some of the absolute convictions that you've had when asking for what you deserve.
Okay. So it's also important to know where the market is, right? So as much as you know your value, you know your worth as a professional, but it's also too important to know what is the market related. So if you see that in terms of the market, I'm really, really below the market. And also knowing the value that you're bringing, so it makes the discussion easier as well. So if you say, this is what I've done, and also ensuring that as a person or a professional, you are producing quality work and you are someone that is reliable. That money conversation then is not as difficult. And also not being shy to actually say you want to understand how do they derive their money that they're giving you. So to also have that understanding, to say, okay, they're saying they're giving me the 10,000, but if I look at the market, it's way more than that. Mm. How do they get there as well? So also, so I think sometimes we don't even understand our packages as professionals.
Yeah.
We just throw the C2C. And now when you get your net
your
pay
slip, you are very disappointed.
You are very disappointed because it's way lower than what you expected. So also understanding your how does it work, your tax, how does those things work, and what exactly are you going to get out as the net amount at the end of the day.
Now, so when we started our conversation, you said something, and I told myself that towards the end of our interview, I'm coming back to it. You said we must enjoy our money. Let's talk about how you do that.
Yes, you must enjoy your money. Work hard for money, right?
Yeah.
So I like enjoy traveling. So I like to plan a trip at least once a year, to either locally, you know, to or even in other provinces as well. So there's a lot in South Africa that you can do. So mm-hmm. I enjoy traveling. I think my kids also enjoy the money more than me.
Yeah.
So you end up as
they
a
often
mother.
Do.
Yeah, you spend a lot on them. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot on the family as well. So with the husband, we do enjoy traveling as well. So that's where the money, where I would splurge most of the time.
And if you could give advice to graduates, young people, sometimes maybe even older people listening today about their money and making sure that they are making the right decision, I guess, today, even irrespective of all the bad decisions that have been made, what would you say?
So I would say to the younger people, it's never too early to start. So it's never too early to start saving. And for the older generation, I'd say it's never too late to change your patterns, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have been mistreating money or abusing money, or you really, it's never too late to change. And you've already now, you're not starting from point zero, you're starting from a point of wisdom because you know where your mistakes are and where you can actually make certain changes that will actually assist you in improving your body situation.
Brilliant. Bangusa, it's been a pleasure hearing from you. Thank you for coming and speaking so frankly about your rants and sense and all your lessons this evening.
Thank you so much, Nolu. Thank you for having me.
Beautiful. That was Ngumisa Mkunwana. I hope I said that correctly. I hope I don't butcher it.
The family must be like,
oh my God, so bad. Thank you so much for coming. She's the CEO at Chapu Chartered Accountant.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.